14th Sunday, Year A, Ordinary Time. Readings. The first book, or the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Reading 2, Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit which dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Gospel of Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus declared, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to babes. Yeah, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and any one to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laid, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Theme: Live gently and humbly like Christ. When we compare the heavenly standards with those of the world, we recognize that they are used to be opposite with each other. What the world considers important, such as money, power, fame, pleasure of the flesh, are regarded as unimportant according to the heavenly standard. Today's readings show us some reasons for these differences. In the first reading, the prophet Zechariah, about 6 BC, prophesies that the Messiah shall enter the Jerusalem city, not with the glorious chariots like a victorious king, but on an ass, on a colt the foal of an ass. In the second reading, St. Paul advised the Romans not to be slaves for the selfish of their flesh. Otherwise, they shall die because of it. The faithful were liberated by Christ from this slavery to live according to the Holy Spirit's guidance. If they live according to his guidance, they shall live abundantly. In the gospel, Jesus revealed the mysteries of the heavenly kingdom, not for the wise and the understanding, but for the lowly and the humble of heart. Christ invites all those who are feeling a heavy burden, tired and weary, to come to him. He will console and teach them two important virtues: humility and weakness. They shall find peace in their mind. Analysis. Reading 1. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The Messiah shall come to people gently and humbly. Today's passage is classified by the scholars as belonging to the second Zechariah. The second part paid less attention to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem after the exile as in the first Zechariah, but more on the announcement of the coming of the Messiah's reign. The second part focused more on the announcement of the coming of the Messiah's reign, while the first Zechariah paid more attention to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem after the exile. In the 12 minor prophets, Zechariah the prophet revealed many important details about the Messiah's life. Today's passage is a typical example. He let us foresee the day when the Messiah solemnly entered the city of Jerusalem. This was a sign for people to recognize the Messiah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. St. Matthew and St. John reported Christ's solemn entrance into Jerusalem city exactly according to Zechariah's prophecy. According to Matthew, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the ass and the colt and put their garments on them, and he sat thereon. According to John, the next day, a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young ass and sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on an ass's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that this had been written of him and had been done to him. The Messiah shall govern all nations of the world. Although Christ acted humbly and gently, he conquered all the world and governed all nations, not only Israel. The Messiah shall govern all nations of the world. Although Christ acts humbly and gently, he shall conquer all the world and govern all nations, not only Israel. The way which he used to conquer and to govern was also very different from the way of worldly kings, not by force and weapons, but by sacrificing himself, teaching the truth, and loving all people. The prophet Zechariah prophesied the Messiah's reign. "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Reading 2. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Chapter 8 of the letter of Romans must be read together with chapter 6 and 7 of that letter. The reason is that since people were liberated by Christ from being slaves for sin, the law, and death, they are free to live according to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Many people misunderstood St. Paul. They think Paul wanted to advertise the new teaching, which said people only needed to believe in Christ to inherit salvation, without the need to do any good works. In chapter 8, Paul explained clearly that people were liberated by Christ, are liberated by Christ, from being slaves for the flesh. So they are free to live according to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Living according to the flesh is to live according to the greed of the eyes, the desire of the heart, and the gratification of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh are like animals because they act according to their natural instincts. People can't live as such because beside their body, like other animals, God also bestows on them other special faculties, such as the soul, the intellect, the memory, and the will to control all other faculties of the body. St. Paul explained this as follows: "But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit, which dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. God's Spirit is also Christ's Spirit. The faithful are also bestowed this same Spirit, so He can guide and give them strength to live according to the truth, which Christ tells them to live. Paul affirms, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Live according to the Holy Spirit. Living according to the Holy Spirit is to live oppositely to the flesh. St. Paul gives us 3 advantages of those who live according to the Holy Spirit. 1. The Holy Spirit helps people to really live. Many people are misled to believe that in order to live fully live, they must have all material things and be satisfied and have all their desires be satisfied. This is the wrong belief. We can illustrate this using this example. A person who wants to smoke pot to satisfy their desire. A person wants to smoke pot to satisfy their desire of being high. After trying a few joints, they want to try other substances to be higher, such as methamphetamine. This can indeed cause them to be higher, but they can die suddenly, and the side effects of this substance are beyond imagination. So what people think makes them live fully can become their death, and they can truly suffer. Therefore, St. Paul had a reason to say, living according to the Holy Spirit is truly living. Living according to the Holy Spirit is truly live. Living according to the flesh is to become a slave for sins and shall lead one to death. The Holy Spirit helps people to become righteous. Since the law, though it is good because it originated from God, has no power to help people to keep it, there is another need to help people to become righteous. This need is Christ. He is the new covenant. People need to believe in him to be free from sins and to be righteous. 3. The Holy Spirit shall resurrect people from death. All human beings must die, but those who have Christ's Spirit in them shall be resurrected from the dead, because the Holy Spirit is the element that makes people live forever. The Holy Spirit can't die because he is God himself. St. Paul explained this as follows. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. Also, through his Spirit which dwells in you. Those who don't have the Holy Spirit shall not live forever. Gospel. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus made a comparison between the wise and the understanding, sophos sonutos, with the lowly, nepios, to tell his audience that they need to have the child's attitudes, such as trust, humility, and eagerness to learn, so that they can convey knowledge to them knowledge about God. A prideful and suspected attitude prevent them from recognizing what he would like to reveal to them. Knowledge about God. Jesus said to them, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus knows his Father more than anyone else. The Greek verb which the author used here is epigoso, epignosko, to know a person as he is or a thing as it is. People understand God with different levels. Only Jesus understands God with the most perfect level. This isn't a surprise because Christ is the Logos, or God's intellect. He and his Father are one. People know about God through Christ's revelation. If God had not revealed to his people, they would never have known him. Christ is God's revelation. He comes to reveal his Father for people as he announced to his disciples. He who sees me sees him who sent me. Moreover, in order for people to understand these revelations, they need the Holy Spirit sent by the Father to enlighten and to guide them from inside. 2 lessons we need to learn from our Master. Though Jesus' disciples must still bear the heavy laden, they don't bear it according to the worldly way, but Christ's way. To do this, they need to learn from Christ. 2 important virtues that we need to learn from him are meekness and humility. Meekness. This is the second beatitude. We can learn this virtue from Jesus. He is God himself. He can destroy all those who reviled, scourged, and killed him because he didn't commit any sin. But he didn't do that. Instead, he chose the way of forgiveness. On the cross, he prayed to God, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." He reconciled people with God and others. He taught them to love, to forgive, to pray, and to do good things to our enemies. Human beings also, like those who are meek, human beings also, like those who are meek, gentle, and easy to forgive. Human beings like those who are meek, gentle, and easy to forgive. Wickedness and revenge are hated by all. We shall not find true peace. We do not find true peace by getting angry with people. Humility. Humility is the virtue that is the opposite of the sin of pride. No one likes pride. No one likes pride in those who always show that they know everything. Humility is to know oneself in the relationship with God and others. The humble know that all they have is from God, and they don't boast with others, but instead they use their given gifts to extend God's kingdom and to serve others. People filled with pride steal God's grace and always feel unrest because they fear that others will be better than them. They are discontent. They are not content when they don't get what they want and are angry with all people. Rethinking our lives. Tiredness or being tired can be a result of laboring from all kinds of as a result of all kinds of pressure in our lives. Tiredness from working can be healed by resting our bodies. Weariness must be healed in a spiritual way. When people come to Christ, He shows them how to avoid this spiritual weariness. Praying helps us to eliminate weariness. Christ was so busy with His mission of preaching, teaching, and healing, but He still found time to pray to His Father, especially when He had to face difficult decisions, such as choosing the 12 before His passion and death on the cross. He overcame all these obstacles using His Father's strength. He overcame all these obstacles with His Father's strength. Solving problems according to God's standards. Worldly people want to be known and praised. Christ teaches us to do all good things, such as to pray, to fast, to give alms in secret. People want to have power so they can give and order and be served. Christ teaches us to be the smallest and to serve others. People think they must protect themselves from overworking. Christ teaches us that unless a grain of wheat falls onto the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We feel weary because we act according to our way or the worldly way. But if we would give up our way and act according to God's way, our weariness may disappear. Shall disappear. Behaving gently with others. Worldly people think it is weak to yield to others. Christ teaches us to yield, to forgive, and to sacrifice, even for our enemies. If we behave according to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will never find peace, and hatred shall increase more and more. But if we follow Christ's way and try to be humble and to forgive, the cycle of hatred will end and the cycle of love will begin to develop. We will have peace. Application in life. We need to learn Christ's way of leading others, not by showing our power and fame, but by humbly serving and loving others. Since Christ liberated us from being slaves to the flesh and bestowed on us his Holy Spirit, we must make an effort to live according to the Holy Spirit's guidance and what he urges us to do. We need to learn from Christ two important virtues, meekness and humility. Meekness, so that we always treat others with compassion, and humility, so that we recognize our lowly standing in the relationship with God and others.